Welcome to Nye's Notes. I'm Jerry Nye, the Bible Guy, continuing our series in Romans chapter 8. We're in verse 31 from the last lesson. We'll continue there. Verse 31, Romans chapter 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. And because he is, Satan cannot be successful against us. God is so for us that we have verse 32. Let me read that verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Spared not his own son. The Father loves us and proved it by sending his son. John 3:16, he gave his only begotten son, but delivered him up for us all. He loves us that much. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Our pardon is in the substitute. That's Jesus Christ. Our provision is also in the substitute, Jesus Christ. How shall he not with himself also freely give us all things? If he gave us his son for salvation, don't you think he will give us the lesser things we need in life? Oh, he will, friend. We need to enter each day knowing God is for us. The next three verses ask the question, who? Verse 33, let me read that one. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Paul asks a question, then he answers it. Who shall bring a charge against Christians? God's elect here are born-again believers. Now, you became the elect when you got saved. You didn't get saved because you were the elect, because God chose you. He did choose you, but not in that sense. Man may accuse us of wrongdoing, and he does. Satan does accuse us day and night. I'm reading Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He is our accuser. We're sinners saved by grace, but we sin every day. Here's a quote. Christians are not sinless, but they do sin less. Let me repeat that. Great quote. Christians are not sinless, but they do sin less. God will never charge us for sin and take away our salvation, for our sin has been forgiven. He will hold us accountable for our sin in this life. He will convict, and then he will chastise if need be. Remember the prayer list. Three C's. 1 John 1:9. Let me read that one. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Confess our sins daily. Then the second part of our prayer list, control, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Get full of the Holy Ghost. The third section of our prayer checklist is crucify, Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We need to crucify the flesh so we can live for God. It is God that justifieth. God has declared believers righteous, and that declaration never changes. I'm reading Romans chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Here are the verses. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. That's us, friend. God has declared us righteous, and that declaration never changes. In verse 34, we see the word who again. Who can trust Christ who died for us? Also condemn us. Who can Christ that intercedes for us? Also condemn us. He died for us. He intercedes for us. We have dual prayer partners. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8, verse 26 and verse 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27 of Romans 8. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. In verse 34, Christ intercedes for us. The same Savior that gave himself for our redemption is our advocate, who can forgive our sins and restore our fellowship. He also is our attorney, who's never lost a case. Boy, restore our fellowship. A lot of people know the difference between relationship and fellowship. Relationship was established when we got saved. He becomes our Heavenly Father. We are a child of God. But fellowship is our daily life with Him. Are we right with God? Our standing and our state. Our standing is our relationship. A Christian, born again, part of the family of God. Our state is how we do in Christ every day. Are we in fellowship with Him, or we get backslid on God? He is interceding for us. He represents us. He's our attorney. He represents us before the Father. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, pleading our case. Father, they're under my blood and forgiven. I can hear Him say, Father, give some more time on this one. I'm working on them. They're going to do better. There's revival coming up in their church, and I have given our man the right messages to preach. I pray that they'll open their hearts to the Scriptures. I pray they will revive their spiritual life. Can you hear Him call out your name saying that? This ministry of intercession was hinted at in Romans 5. I'm reading Romans 5, 9 and verse 10. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Reconciled and redeemed by His death, saved and sustained by His life. Sustained as a verb means to strengthen or support, physically or mentally. He ever lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. When the devil accuses us, He supports us. God is for us, friend. Don't forget that. Now we're looking at verse 35 of Romans 8. Another question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? The last two questions here. This is not asking who shall hinder us from loving Christ, but who shall stop? Nobody can stop. God, who can stop God from loving us? And verse 31 through the verse 34, Paul proved that God cannot fail us, but we can certainly fail Him. God is for us. Sometimes we're not for Him, are we? Don't fail Him. Are we always for Him? When we face troubles and trials and valleys, we may wonder if God still loves us. He always loves us. He's always for us. God does not shelter us from difficulties, but He uses them for our spiritual growth to mature us. I'm reading Romans 5, verse 3 and 5. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In Romans 8:28, a verse we've already covered, we can know that all things are working for us, not against us. Love caused Jesus to be our substitute. The only way He would cease to be for us is to stop loving us. Satan tries to get us to doubt His love for us. He uses seven things. Starting in verse 35, I want to pick that up on the next lesson. Hope these lessons being a blessing to you, friend. If you're not saved, trust Him today. He's coming soon. Tomorrow may be too late. Trust Him. Consider His offer of salvation freely given by His sacrifice on the cross for us, paying our sin debt for us, that we don't have to pay it in the devil's lake of fire. Till next time, keep looking up. Goodness, what do we got?